Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Namaste Sasamnevadi Askatyari Sakarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
A wonderful chapter. Let us hear again the translation. In executing devotional service, one has to see every living entity equally without any... I'm on the wrong page, right? Here. One has to become faithful by practicing the controlling process of the yoga system and must elevate himself to the platform of unalloyed devotional service by chanting and hearing about me. So, to summarize the purport, Srila Prabhupada was speaking about the necessity to become faithful in Krishna consciousness. This means that a devotee shouldn't just externally be a devotee, like the impersonalist who sometimes goes to an aratik. I can assure you, there are many impersonalists in Haridwar who go to the Ganga Puja every evening, and they sing songs, but they think of Ganga and Krishna. No, I am the same as you. We are all Brahman. So this is a cheating process. And to worship and then say, this is me. A devotee should not be like that. He should be outside a devotee and inside a devotee. Better to be inside a devotee, and even if outside, you have to dress like persons who go to work in modern clothes. That's all right, but it's not so good to be outside a devotee and then pretend to be inside and inside you are somewhere else. I think we can easily understand this point. So this was Prabhupada's point, which he made at the end. We should be faithful. That means inside should be like the outside. There should be no difference, no pretense. In the verse, there were some recommendations how to do this. One was bhavena, our heart should be full of this mood to become engaged in Krishna's service. Bhava is very important. If you do something but you do not have the bhava, it's not very good. You say to someone, I like you very much, but inside there is no feeling of affection, then this is not correct. So our devotional service must be full with bhava. Buddha bhava samanvita. One should be absorbed in the thought of love of Krishna. This is a very high state, but we should come to this. This is what Krishna consciousness means. And then Srila Prabhupada gave two processes how to come to Krishna consciousness. One, very amazing, is by yoga exercises. by yoga exercises. I think you were noting this. It's very special. Yoga exercises are meant to control really the body and the mind. And but Prabhupada makes then the point that more important than yoga exercises is to control the mind, train oneself by faithful devotional service. And this is a summary of the verse and the purport. Let us now continue hearing about faith something. Yesterday we were ending our class by describing some hard moments of faith, when it's very difficult to be faithful. And some of you have stated what they consider to be hard moments or difficult moments in faith. Now, if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, it is very, very interesting that there will be always something in you which will not like that you make advancement. Some strach. Do we say this in Slovenian also? Good. Strach. Some strach is there. Something which resists change. In the beginning of our life, in the beginning of coming to Krishna consciousness, this fear was coming from outside, but later it comes from inside. Let me tell you something interesting from psychology, which makes the point how much the human being resists change of any type. You will be very surprised. You will recognize yourself most properly in it. Let us assume in Ljubljana there is a man who is a drinker, a drunkard. He comes home to his family, he has a wife and a son and a daughter, and the following scenario develops. He's drunk and he's most probably frustrated, and he begins to beat his poor wife, and so on. And this repeats itself every evening he comes home and he drinks this. This is very unfortunate, but it happens very, very often in Slovenia. More often than you think. In the family, now some role play will develop. The son will stand up and say, "Father, this is not correct if you beat my mother." And he will be like he will feel like a hero and a protector. He will grab his father by the arm and say, "No, no." Now, the sister will most properly, if she is has a womanly nature, feel different. She will take the understanding role. "Oh, my dear, nasi dragi otaci. We are so sorry that you feel so frustrated. I can understand you. Mother may not have always understood you, and now you became like this." So the sister plays the compassionate role. And the poor wife, well, the poor wife, after some time, will fall into the role of the martyr. What is the English word for this? Martyr. Martyr, you understand? Yes? Like Jesus, yes. And the apostle. Martyr. Now, can you say it again? Martyr. Yeah. Do you understand what this martyr is? Like someone who burns on the pyre for his belief. Mucinik, yes, that sounds correct. The mucinik, yes. "Oh," she would say, "I am such a poor lady. I am so misunderstood by my husband. He is so very cruel and ugly. And he's very But I'm so good, and he is so bad, so on. So now let us assume the following. The drunkard father really hits the bottom. Bang! And he understands, this is too much. I have to give up drinking. I cannot be a drunkard any longer. I will become a vegetarian. And I will only drink a lassi and fruit juice and a little water. Mm-mm. So, do you think his family will like it? Listen very carefully. His family does not like it, because now the son can no longer be the protector. Sister can't be the compassionate sister any longer, and the wife can't be the, here comes the difficult word, martyr. After 1 year or 1.5 years, they have become accustomed to playing these roles, and to change is so totally uncomfortable. It is so bad. Whenever someone moves out of a social circle, the others are thrown into a very uncomfortable position. They have to relate in different roles to him, and they have to learn something new. Do you understand this little complicated? Yeah, no? It's all right? Good. We have experienced this when we became devotees. All of a sudden, our family and our friends felt a little uncomfortable with us. How to relate to such a person is very, very, very difficult to relate to him. In what roles do we relate to such a person? Now, when you start to make the decision to become more advanced in Krishna consciousness, you also become very, very, you become your own worst enemy, so to say. That one side in you doesn't like it if you change totally. Yesterday one devotee came to us after the pilgrimage to the Himalaya, and he said, I'm deep in my heart, I fear to make such a pilgrimage because I have to change. Up there I can't be Mr. Comfortable or Mr. So-and-so, you know, however he is. I have to change. I have to become a devotee. I have to take full shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna and Ganga. And one side of us doesn't like this, or is, let us say it in a different way, is deeply afraid of this, because then something changes. Imagine you would become Sveti Savats. Or Sveti Goranga Sundara. Sveti means holy, isn't it? Oh, I know a good word, yes. Sveti, the holy Goranga Sundara, or the holy Mangala. You would be a total different person. And sometimes, you're not so unholy, but also not 100% holy, maybe 50% holy at this moment. Something in us is deeply afraid that this change would take place. How would we be? How would we feel? How would our friends feel? How would I live my life? Do you know that some of us are deeply afraid to go back to Godhead? What would I do there? the same shops which are here would not be there. I wouldn't be able to do this and that, and my private little attachments, my Led Zeppelin CDs, where would they go? We are deeply afraid. Something in us, and this is the human psychology, deeply resists change. This is confirmed. Something in us wants to stay the way we are, even if it is miserable. Once one devotee was preaching to a rickshaw driver. A rickshaw driver means they live a maximum of 30 years because it is so unhealthy to work in the city on a rickshaw, and just you live from benzene, which you from exhaust fumes, which you breathe into your lungs, and the 30 years your organism can't take it any longer, and you die. You know, these Calcutta rickshaw wallahs. So this devotee said, "My dear Calcutta rickshaw wallah, come to Sridhar Mayapur. There are fresh breezes, nice Mother Ganga, you can bathe regularly, and sufficient amounts of prasadam. You know, we have our own fields, and we have very healthy vegetables and rice and so on." And you chant Hare Krishna. And the rickshaw driver was not enthusiastic. He said, "No," he felt very distressed. "No, I cannot go. No, I cannot go. But why? Your life is so hellish here, and you will die very soon." No, sorry, I cannot go. I know you do not smoke there, and I want to continue smoking. Therefore, I cannot go. I'm very sorry. Please excuse me." So something in us is like the rickshaw driver. When we hear a lecture about developing our faith and becoming more spiritual in our Krishna conscious life, be aware of the anchor which is there, of that side in you which does not want a change, because it means something new. It means a redefinition of your jivat, of your life. This is one point which I wanted to make. At the same time, I want to encourage all of us. We have already one time in our life done this step. When we joined Krishna consciousness, we have left certain activities, we have left a certain circle of friends, we have left even jobs or educations, and we have left a certain hairstyle. It all went with the razor blade of the temple commander. We have done this step, and we are still living. It is not so horrible, and not so difficult, not so dangerous. And I can assure you, if we do now again another step, where we decide, "I want to act now on the level of faith in Krishna. I will change my life according to this," there will be Krishna there who will help us. He will, when we go over the threshold, when we go from the known to the unknown in our Krishna consciousness, when we go from the state of the less surrendered or not so surrendered devotee to a more surrendered devotee, then Krishna will be there on that threshold. He has been waiting for us on this threshold. He will take us by the hand, and he will help us to enter into a life of more surrender. Of course, our old habits will come and try to bring us back to the old level of our Krishna consciousness. But a devotee who is attentive, he will be there and he will take care that he can progress. Now, to progress in faith means you have to ask a deep question into your life. Are you an inner worker or are you an outer worker? I want to be very sure that this very unusual word is translated for all of us into the Slovenian language. What means an inner worker? Yes. Those who works on himself, really. How do we say? It's not one word. It's he who works on himself. And then someone who works on the outside. We can say an internal man and an outward man. This makes it much easier. Do you all know what I mean? Internal person and an external person. An internal person wants to overcome his bad qualities. He wants to improve himself. He has faith that Krishna will protect him and give him whatever he needs. He is ready to do everything which is necessary to become deeply Krishna conscious. Now, an external devotee is someone who really does not want to work so much on his internal nature, on his Krishna consciousness, but he's more interested in external things. Let us say positions. Or let us say he wants to have good clothing and a very developed wristwatch with different functions, maybe 10 or 8 would also be all right. He is more interested how people see him than how he really is. He's very, very conscious about what others think. He is not so conscious about how his inner state of consciousness is. So most of us come from the school of the external people. We are very interested about how people perceive us. In our teenage days, this starts. You know, the teenagers are very, very conscious of how they look. They look what is the fashion, and then they immediately feel a very great need to dress themselves up according to fashion. I remember when I was young, this was when everyone was wearing these pants which were going this way. It's coming back into fashion now, but oh, it was a must. Mother, I must wear these type of pants. But look, my dear son, the pants, it's much more practical if it is the way it is. No, you must cut it here and you must put a colorful thing there. But you know, this is such a nice pen. Why should I cut it? When you go on the bicycle, it will go into the chains. Instead of making it this way, we should more make it this way. No, mother, then I look totally crazy and my friends don't play with me any longer. Finally, mother had to do it. I don't see the need. I do not see the practical use of this. it's totally against my understanding, but because I love you, I will do it. And then she cut it, and I was there, and I was controlled. Mother, a little wider, please. and it is very, very important for a teenager to see how other people see him. We have the same thing in our brahmanas. We have a brahmana in Goloka Dham who makes sure that he has a very thick Brahmin string that everyone can see it from 2,000 kilometers, that here is a brahmana who's obviously very brahminical. I mean, you can see it. So when the teenager becomes a little older, it becomes more complicated. It's not only one role he has to play, but there are many social roles. When you marry, you have to be a good relative to many people. You have to be a good worker in your factory. You have to be, a good father maybe, or a good mother. The many roles you learn to play. So, in our Krishna conscious society, this also is there. In the beginning, one just wants to be a good book distributor, or a good pujari, or a good something, but later it comes that one wants to be a good learned person who knows many verses, who can play nicely the madanga or the karatals, who is a good cook as well, and so many other roles come. One is very self-conscious. This is the typical path of the external devotee who grows into what we can tell many social roles. Now, such an external devotee will have a difficulty. The difficulty is when the society which he joins gets into problems. Like now, our ISKCON society is in a quite interesting period. Everything is changing, everything is going upside down, and this and that. The external devotee loses when the society in which he is, when it changes, he loses his identification. He has nothing in himself, not much faith in Krishna, because he never cared on working in himself. Everything was dependent on the outside world, and if the outside world shakes, he shakes also. This is what happens in our society at this present moment, if you look at it from a sociological perspective. Many devotees become disappointed, many devotees lose their faith, they look for shelter outside of ISKCON, and so on and so forth. And I think we can understand these devotees. Their faith was not yet very strong, and they were not had not made the difficult work to work on themselves and to find out themselves who is Krishna for them, what does their spiritual master mean for them, what does this relationship mean for them. As soon as there's some difficulties in the outside world, they feel they have to redefine everything and start all over. It is good, but this time they should start to work on themselves and become an internal devotee, always living in the temple of their own hearts. See, faith is a difficult matter, because faith means you have to work inside of you. Faith has not so much to do with what other people think of you, how other people relate to you. Faith is something entirely private, entirely, how would you say, internal. That's the best word, really. And For the conditioned souls, it always has been, it always is, and it always will be difficult to work on one's own self. Krishna consciousness is for that. My dear devotees, ultimately you have to stand on your own two feet. There's a beautiful purport in the first canto, which comes, I believe, in the last chapter. It is called the departure of the Pandavas. The Pandavas get a notice that Krishna has left the planet. And a little later, they decide that this is it. They have ruled long enough, and they will now go on the path of the great departure. This is the title of a book which I have written also, and they start to walk up the Himalayan mountains, and Draupadi, the wife, sees them going, and she understands, well, this is the end of the palace life, and follows them. And it turns out that the husbands can't really take care of her any longer, because they are now totally withdrawn. Yudhishthira becomes like an avaduta, no longer like a king who takes care of many subjects. And they all go more or less for themselves up the Himalayas, where they ultimately leave their bodies. And Draupadi is going all alone. And is very, very... there Prabhupada makes a point which is very serious. He says, ultimately, also a devotee has to go alone. We are learning, he says, in the association of devotees. But we are learning so that we can ultimately fly alone. And he gives the example of someone who learns to fly an airplane. On the ground, while he is together with his comrades, he is learning from them, they learn from him, and so on and so forth. But when he is in the air, he has to fly. There's no one next to him, even no teacher instructor, no instructor. He has to apply what he has learned. This is the meaning of Krishna consciousness, my dear devotees. You have to learn to fly your own plane. Prabhupada once said, the deepest meaning of Krishna consciousness is to save yourself. He once said this in a letter to one devotee. The devotee had presented many plans, what they want to change, what they want to do new in the world. And Prabhupada said, yes, but what is about you? And then he said, the deepest meaning of Krishna consciousness is to save yourself. Doesn't mean to become an egoist or to become withdrawn from the association of devotees. No. It means to become an internal man or an internal woman. An internal devotee, in other words. This progression of faith is very, very important to be done. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes about this. Shraddha is the only rule for people established on the level of bhakti. Shraddha, this faith, you stand on the ground of faith and bhakti. Just like in this world, you stand on the floor. Sometimes in dreams we fly. I do not know if you also dream like this. But in actual life, we have to stand on the floor. If there is no floor, we will fall. I mean, we will not be here. You know, imagine all of a sudden the floor would be gone. Where would we be? we would fall wherever the next floor is. So in the same way, now in spiritual life, the only floor on which you stand is your faith. If you don't have faith, you are nowhere in spiritual life. Externally, yes, you can dress as a devotee and you can say Haribol and all of the other ways to greet other people in spiritual life, but it's really the ground of your faith. It's something very, very private. So he says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Shraddha is the only rule for people established on the level of bhakti. Under the shelter of sadhu and guru, as unwanted habits are destroyed by the power of bhajan, that shraddha transforms into devotional service with nishtha, or firm faith. In other words, as you are going in the association of sadhu and guru, that beginning shraddha becomes firm faith. Then, as the anathas are further destroyed, one progresses from the level of nishtha to ruchi, ruchi to asakti, and asakti to bhava. When bhava in the form of rati is mixed with the appropriate ingredients, it becomes rasa. In other words, on the level of bhava, there are different types of elements come, sanshari bhava, anubhava, the anubhavas, the stai bhava, all these, they are altogether five types of understandings in relationship to Krishna or the way you relate to Krishna, and then rasa, the bhakti rasa is produced in your heart. Yes. This is really what we have to do, my dear devotees. We have to travel from the beginner's faith to the faith of which is firm and so on. The progress in our life only takes place when this happens. Now comes the question, and this will be the end of my lecture this morning. How can we strengthen this faith? I would really like to hear from you what comes to your mind. You are all workers in the field of Shraddha. What tips can you give? What helps to strengthen faith? When we realize something which we have read or heard from Shastra. Yes. A good example strengthens our faith. Yes, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur also speaks about the good example. He says, therefore, it's very good to read about the life of sadhus. You will see in his book Harinam Chintamani, which is the book for chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, there he has a biography of Haridas Thakur, how he chants. This is how the book starts. Because if you see such a good example in chanting, you feel inspired. I will also chant. What else strengthens our faith? Sadhu Sangha. Yes. Association with the devotees. Here comes our translator. Yes. Sadhu Sangha. Yes. Do we have a Bhagavad Gita in English here? Yeah. There is a verse in the Bhagavad Gita which gives us a very nice understanding. It's an understanding. understanding which Mangala has given to us also today, and you also, you, both of you are directly echoing the words of Krishna to us. Machita Matkata Prana. It's in the ninth. This is a very old Bhagavad Gita. Ninth chapter, text 10, if we are correct. Machita Matkata Prana Burayanta Parasparam Tatayantas Shamang Nityam Tushyanticha Ramanticha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Now, these devotees, in their association, you get faith because they speak about Krishna with great satisfaction and bliss. You know, when you meet, come into the association of devotees who are blissful in Krishna consciousness, then the faith is really born. Prabhupada here says something very interesting, that this what he translates in the verse as enlightening each other. In the Sanskrit word, it's bodhayanta, and he says they preach to each other. The devotees preach to each other. See, very often a very superficial relationship with devotees is where you feel you can only flatter the other person because, ooh, if I say something, then they will stone me. No, the devotees, when they meet, they are enlightening each other in the sense of preaching to each other. That it means they tell each other useful things or useful information. See, this is all a preacher does. He finds out what is useful for the audience, what is good for them to hear at this particular moment in their Krishna consciousness. And then he preaches to them and tries to elevate them. This is how faith is developed. It's very, very important. But this means our association must be in such a, on such a level. See, when you go into the association of devotees and they do not derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about Krishna. When these devotees are politicians, this is a very strong word, I should not use such a word. When devotees don't talk about Krishna and about Krishna conscious subject, when they are not enlightening but darkening each other, then in such an association faith cannot arise. This is a very important point. So let us meet with devotees, but let us not socialize. Of course, there must be a social part. I liked the meeting yesterday very much. We had our Ganga snan. We took our bath in the Ganga, and afterwards they were socializing. The Grihasthas talked about maybe new kinds of apple peelers, and which are very practical to peel an apple to offer it nicely to Krishna, and so on, and other such important social subjects. They must be there. But let us also have a very spiritual part of association, and then we can socialize afterwards. Because we are social people, we need this, and it is necessary to develop friendship. Prabhupada here in the purport says, the talks of the devotees are solely on the transcendental subjects. We can't do this. We are not pure devotees. We can't talk from morning till evening about transcendental subject matters. But sometimes in our association, we should make sure that we talk about Krishna. It's very important. We have to talk about other things also, about the best prizes for the apples, and you know, these things are definitely necessary because we live here, and that we are also ordinary people. We are not just only sadhus. We're trying to become spiritual. But let us make this this talk about Krishna, so that our faith is developed. I want to tell you from my own life. You know, my service is preaching since many, many years, and I remember how a transformation took place. When I was a young devotee, I would preach like someone who would, you know, go to his job. This is the thing you do when you go out as a preacher. You talk about spiritual subjects. Later I found out, if I do preaching just like a job, this is not very good. It's not correct. Then my inside is something else than my outside. I must absorb myself in these activities, in these talks, from as much as possible. And now, after doing this for a few years, I feel it is natural for me to talk about spiritual things. It's no longer a job which you do, you know, and then you have your holiday or yourself and you do something else. As a preacher, you very quickly learn that the inside must be like the outside. Otherwise, you are not reaching people's heart, really, when you talk. So, this is good. This inspiration from my own life I want to present for your inspiration also. Try to not just talk about Krishna and think about Krishna when you are in the programs, morning and evening programs. Try to do this when you come together, when you speak with each other. Try to do this in your private time. Then your faith will very quickly grow. Try to make the outside identical with the inside, and the inside identical with the outside. This will help you become strong in faith. Another thing is, when you to increase your faith, I have written this down, is study. For some of you, this might be a new word in relationship to the philosophy, because we read, but what is study the books? What is this? Is only for people who give lectures, maybe, who have to study deeply and find different references. But most of us don't give lectures. So let us read, but not study. Let me tell you the difference of between reading and studying. With the reading, you are more or less just taking in the knowledge which is there. You turn the pages and you find out what are the new informations on the new pages. With studying, a different element comes to your reading. It is the reflection. You think deeply about what you have studied, what you have read. You find out, is there something else I have which is in relationship to this? And my dear devotees, only by this reflection, in Sanskrit you would say smaranam, or this deep thought, will you be able to really understand the subject. If you just read, the danger is that it goes in one eye and out another eye, or it comes in and leaves you. Only if you start to do smaranam with this subject matter, if you remember it, if you reflect in it, it becomes deep. Therefore, there are the first three angas or ingredients of bhakti are shravanam, you hear, kirtanam, you speak, and then smaranam. Ultimately, this movement is a movement for remembering Krishna, and you must reflect about it. So study helps us to enter into the world of deep reflection, and it enters deep into our solitza, our heart, and it builds the faith there so that it becomes very strong. How does one study Srila Prabhupada's books? Well, the most easiest method really is if you read and something strikes your attention. Let us say you read a purport and you find the word faith. Then you can go to the index of the Bhagavad Gita and you can look if there's something on faith. Faith, yes. In demigod worship. Oh, I really don't. I have no intention to worship the demigods. Oh, but here, second point, lack of faith. This is highly interesting for me because sometimes my faith is not so strong. And then modes of nature determine your faith. That's also interesting. Wow. That means maybe if I'm in tamagun, I'm not so faithful as if I'm in sattvagun. Let me find this out. I don't want to speculate about this. And in this way, you begin to study, and it becomes deeper, and you understand more deeper what it is about this philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And you go into reflection. On this tour, I will give a few seminars, and one I have here. It's about Vedic psychology. You won't believe your ears. It's so good. And there I will make also the point, I have it right here in my notes, that there are really 3 points from the Brihadaranyaka. God is to be seen, he is to be listened to, and he is to be reflected on and contemplated on. In other words, you look at the deity, you listen according to scriptures, and then you reflect on what you have listened. You find out the different arguments, you find out the different proofs, and then you can also contemplate. You can only become a contemplative or meditative devotee if you first begin to deeply reflect on what you have heard, so that there is something in your heart which is so deep that you can meditate about it. This is from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So let me make it simple. 2 things to increase your faith. The association with devotees, but devotees who talk about Krishna, who enlighten each other, who are very blissful in their Krishna consciousness. And the second is to study the books. That means to reflect on them. Do you know how most of the devotees in Switzerland became devotees? At one stage they met Krishna Chandra, who is always in bliss somehow or other. And it's very difficult to understand how he is always in bliss. And then he stands at the entrance of the temple in Zurich, right? And then someone comes for the Sunday program, and he begins to laugh at him. Ha ha! So nice that you have come. But he doesn't. It's not a show. He means it. I'm so happy that you have come. And he embraces them, if they are men, and he is just very cordial, and he's very happy by his nature that, wow, someone comes to Krishna's temple. How nice for them. And these people, they tell me later, this was the first devotee I saw when I came in the temple. He was so blissful and so happy, and then my faith just, I want to be like them. I really want to be like them. This is very important for me. This is also how I became a devotee. There was one devotee, he was called Vasudev. He was always singing and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And I looked at him, and he was always happy. And I was always in between happiness and misery, chum chum, like him. And I thought, I will become like him. And one day, I remember we were in London, he said, come, let us do kirtan. I said, well, yes, why not? And I remember I still had all my hair. And then we started to dance alone, just him and me, on Oxford Street. And we became so happy. We chanted Hare Krishna. We were just so utterly happy and ecstatic in our Krishna consciousness. And afterwards, many people came to the Sunday feast. We want to see what is the secret of these Hare Krishnas. Hare Krishna. It's good association is the secret. All right. So, hopefully I have touched your hearts and your thinking deeply. I wish you all the best in your journey of faith. Please do not make the mistake which so many of our members sometimes make. That is to go back in your spiritual practices because others are going back. This is not how you can progress in your life. You have to be an internal person. Not an external person who is only dependent, like a teenager, on the changing fashions and changing things in the world. You have to find out why to become Krishna conscious, who is Krishna, what does Krishna mean in your life, and in this way make up your umski, your mind, and become a hero of faith. I wish you that you all become very strong in your Krishna consciousness. This is my last day here in Ljubljana. We had very nice to be in the same building, like always. Please keep the preaching alive here. Slovenians are people who can be touched with spiritual life. I'm sure that Lord Chaitanya is very thankful to all of you who keep our spiritual movement going. Please do not be dissatisfied and disappointed that things change. That's natural when a leading devotee changes his orientation in life, and so on. And it can't be avoided. These ups and downs of an institution, they happen in every institution. It's natural. Your answer should be, I will become an internal devotee now, someone who is, and you can do this by deep study of this spiritual subject and by keeping your association with enlivened devotees. Good. This is all I wanted to say. Thank you very much. Do you have any questions regarding these temas? Oh, this is very nice. Gornitai have come. Oh, what a very melodious telephone you have. What is your question? You need your discrimination. You're a young devotee and you experience the power of purification. That is, that all of a sudden also impure things come out and one is quite shocked. Don't be shocked. It's just like passing air. Blah! It is natural. It has to get out. The passing mental air. This is called passing mental air. You know, you don't. When it happens, you don't take it so serious. You don't change your life. You just open the windows and so. I'm very sorry, but sometimes we have to be practical. It's not very philosophical what I said. The process works, Dayan. You get worked out and some things which are inside of you come out. But yes. But no need to talk about it. It's just like in the example. Everyone understands. All right, let's go on with life. No need to make a big talk or convention about it. I'm very sorry if I have shocked you with my very uncivilized and barbarian example. But it's really the same thing. Yes. What was the name again?
Narakala.
Yes, Narakala. The Sanskrit Nova. Yes.
I find that because we were thinking about the change. Yes. So when we make a change, there is always some consequence, little or big.
Yes.
And then I feel that there is a lack of preparation to the devotees to this change. Sometimes they are shocked when something has happened. But then this is important, and how could this be
I'm not totally sure, Narakara Prabhu, if I understand. You mean we are shocked if changes in the in our society happen, or both?
Inside and outside.
And you think, you're asking if we, how we can be better prepared for this? Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. There, Narakara Prabhu is asking how to be better prepared for changes. In the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, there is a very interesting instruction by Lord Krishna that by studying and analyzing the past, we can conclude what will be in the future. So we do have a lot of information about spiritual societies, and we know what happened to them when the founder is leaving. It will be chaos for some time. we can be prepared. This is to be expected, what has happened. When Prabhupada disappeared, it was, for some time it went everything as if nothing had happened, but then it came. This is natural. This happened with the Gaudiya Math, it happened when Ramanuja left the planet. It is clear. And also in our own lives, we know, for instance, from Haridas Thakur, how he was tempted. We will also be tempted and tested. Maybe not in the same way, maybe in similar ways, and so on. So a devotee who studies the past knows what to expect in the future. I'm now doing this Narakara in my life. I'm studying very carefully death, so that when it comes, when I'm dying, I'm not totally surprised. I know what is happening and I know what to do. There are different things which, in the book which I'm writing, I'm offering to those who are serious to do this, a meditation about their own death. They can die before they die and just learn everything. So that they are prepared when it comes. Srila Prabhupada used to say this, philosophy means to keep death in front of your eyes. See, the two things which are extremely important in our lives, birth and the other is death. It will come. It is very important. It's a major cut into our lives. You know, it's a major event. It's not a small event. And non-devotees are not preparing themselves for this. They are not thinking about it. They are not. They are so afraid of it that they can't even think of it. A devotee is not afraid. He prepares himself. Then when it comes, he knows, now this is now the time. Good, now I really have to see, what was it? What did I learn? What is the essential spiritual teachings which I have? Where do I take shelter now? These things are all solved for the devotee. He knows and he has applied it, and then he dies a glorious death and goes back to Krishna. The final examination of life. So by studying the past, we can conclude what is coming in the future. Mm-hmm. How do you speak such good English? Are you from there?
I'm American.
American even, yeah. Good.
Mm-hmm. And we're looking more and more at these things, the relationship between the external and the internal development of devotee, and how we can facilitate those things and be aligned with the process of teaching. And I was just kind of curious, I don't know if Gary didn't answer to this question, but where can one situate oneself kind of in a neutral position? Because there isn't a lot of information kind of trickling down, and a lot of things are being discussed and reworked, and everyone's kind of trying to figure out, what does it really mean? What does it really mean who is in the temple? Who is outside? Does it really mean Grihastha Ashram? What does it really mean Varnashram?
Yeah.
All of these things are kind of being looked at, but yet there isn't a lot of information coming to the devotees.
It's very contradictory sometimes what is discussed. How to best answer. See, spiritually we know there is a standard which comes by the transcendental literature. But where to situate ourselves now in our lives, there is the question. It's not in the philosophy, it's in that. And I want to offer a very, I can't give the answer, but I want to give a very interesting process which might give the answer to you. Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes it very clear that for a devotee who is on the level of Vaidhi Bhakti, and that's most of us who practice according to the rules and regulations, it's absolutely required to be situated in Varnashram. Otherwise the devotee can't progress. Now, we do not have Varnashram. Srila Prabhupada, he wanted very much to establish Varnashram, but he left earlier, and he saw this as that, he said, half of my work is undone. It is not done. We are a movement where this is not yet solved. Okay, so what does an intelligent person do when he sees there is no system for me? Then he understands, well, I have to create the system for my own life then. Now, if we look at Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writing, we will have to go to the question, what does Varnashram do to a person? What is the purpose of Varnashram? What is the goal of it? Why is this so important? And then if we understand why this is important, what is the goal, we can try to do this in our own life. Now he says, the duty of a Varnashram society is to take care of the physical health, of the emotional needs, of the intellectual development of a person, and of the social needs. So here come four needs to you, and you have to see how you can satisfy them. In the absence of a system, you have to create it in your own life. You have to see that you are physically healthy, that you are, you know, emotionally, that you are a happy person. It's as much as possible. It is not always possible to be happy in a place of suffering. And you have to have some social things, you know, security. And you have to see where you can best attain it. Some of us are natural temple devotees for the rest of their life, but that's a very, very small percentage. Most of us are ordinary men and women of this world who don't have this nature of a monk or a nun in them, and they need, but we are nevertheless devotees. So we have to see that we can find something where we are just happy. I want to tell you an example of a devotee in Germany who tried to live in the temple, very nice devotee, but somehow she was not happy. So then she tried different things, and then she found out, she went to a school where she learned to take care of children. And she described to me, when I stand before children and teach them what they need to know in their lives, I feel like a happy person. It makes me very, very inspired. It's on the, maybe on the material platform, but this is necessary to take care of. Unless you are a Raganuga Bhakta, who is only thinking of Krishna and who's together with Krishna, who's thinking of his eternal relationship with the Lord, and who is totally detached from the material platform, and so on. But we are not like this. We are people of the 20th century.